Welcome to episode 19 of Unraveling Karma, an evolutionary astrology podcast to help you deepen self-understanding and make changes for the better. My name is Tom Jacobs, and I'm an astrologer, medium, and channel in Tucson, Arizona. You can find me on the web at tdjacobs.com, where I offer 2 original natal reports, 4 new books, a handful of talks, either classes that I record or audio of workshops I've given. I'm going to tell you about the 2 natal reports for a second before we get into the rest of the show. One is the True Black Moon Lilith natal report, and that reframes how we have been told to think about Lilith from, you know, she's a demon and she's negative and evil, to understanding in what way that archetype is a part of us. And I offer a lot of information about how to integrate this archetype and how to work with it consciously and lovingly, so that we're not demonizing a part of ourselves just because the culture we grew up in is afraid of things that can't be controlled. Lilith represents the wild. So it goes into house, sign, and aspects in your natal chart, as well as having an essay on Lilith, putting the whole story in context. And it also deals with transits and progressions for the next year to your natal Lilith. And it's the True Black Moon Lilith, just a note for you, because a lot of people are using the mean position, which is averaged, and I always recommend using the True Black Moon Lilith position. So that's the first report. The second one is Living in the Present Tense, and the subtitle is A Personalized Astrological Prep Course for 2012, which is kind of a mouthful. But the basic idea is I talk about what I've channeled about 2012, and then I use 4 archetypes in your birth chart by house and sign to talk about routes to emotional healing to help you live more in the present tense, which is really the big statement that I've been getting from my guides as I channel what they have to say about the shifts that are happening now that culminate at the end of the Mayan calendar, which is also called 2012. So you can get those from my website. And moving on, I used to do, well, in my old blog, I used to do this segment called Transit Lab. And whenever I noticed something about transits that I thought was worth passing on, like transits to my own chart, personal stuff that I thought was worth passing on to readers, I wrote a post that started with Transit Lab. You can still find those at spiritcrossing.com, my old blog. And today, coming home from the grocery store, I had one of those experiences. And so I decided to do a Transit Lab segment here just to tell you about this. Often those segments were about interplanet transits and kinds of very small transitory, you know, momentary experiences that fit the symbolism of them. And usually what would inspire me to even write about them in the first place was that they made me laugh because the symbolism was so clear about the transit in question. Like, for example, at my 3rd Jupiter return, my natal Jupiter is in Capricorn in the 3rd house. And at the return, you know, you get this boost of energy, which with Jupiter can be opportunity. And I was on my kind of rickety old motorcycle in Pasadena at the grocery store again. And there was a guy on this scooter that I was looking at. It was kind of one of these high-end scooters that's actually freeway legal and you can go up to like 70 miles an hour. And I was looking at it when he came out, and I was chatting with him about it, and he said, hey, I have this this awesome motorcycle that I'm not using, I'll give you for half price, that he just bought a couple years ago. And it was like a top-of-the-line BMW Tourer, which at that point was one of the little sparkles in my eyes as far as, like, that would be really cool, you know, like the 10-year-old who finally gets to ride a motorcycle. And but the symbolism of it, I couldn't get over it. It was Jupiter, which was a risk, in Capricorn, which indicates old age. And this guy was 87 years old, and he'd been riding since he was a teenager. In the 3rd house, which is about vehicles. And I got a huge kick out of that. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. What happened today is the sun is conjunct my midheaven today at 14 Cancer. And I was wondering the last couple of days, I wondered what would happen. I knew it would be momentary. You know, it would just be like a little shining, a little light on something mid-heaven like. And after this thing happened, I came home and I realized it is actually applicable to the podcast. So otherwise, if it were just the sun transiting the midheaven, it wouldn't be applicable to karma. So I'm riding my bike and I come up this little hill at this kind of crazy intersection in downtown Tucson where the bike lane ends and the bikes have to figure out, you know, am I going to go on the sidewalk? Am I going to merge into traffic? And it's kind of like a little Five Points area where there's a little confusion. And the energy there is kind of crazy. I actually had a spill there a couple of weeks ago when I was getting onto the sidewalk. It was just a silly little thing, and I didn't get hurt, but it was right at that intersection. So it was a little crazy energy. Well, this morning, a bicyclist was killed there with a run-on with a car or a bus or something. You know, just probably 10 feet away from there, going into the intersection. So there's a dude with a microphone and another dude with a camera, and they're from some local TV news station, and they're talking to bicyclists. So they pull me aside, sir, would you mind, you know, talking to us about this? And I said, yeah, sure, whatever. And I, at this point, I've been watching for 3 days. What is going to happen with this sun on the midheaven? Nothing happened. You know, as soon as the thing happened, I forget it, and I'm just in the moment, which is probably actually good, because it means that I'm still living and not just being an astrologer. So they do this interview, and I don't watch the news because there's just this, you know, vibe of negativity that underrides it, and I really don't need that in my life. So anytime I talk to somebody who's associated with the news on any level in any sphere, I'm always a little caught off guard because I don't think like that. I don't look for the thing to be afraid of, and I don't look for that. So he asks me several questions, and, you know, it's all about, you know, did you know about this? How does it make you feel? Does it make you more afraid in this area? You know, have you noticed drivers here being less, you know, not paying attention and not considerate? But every single answer that I gave basically confounded him. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I get that. He wanted, you know, some kind of reaction other than, well, you know, all I can speak about is myself, and I drive like nobody else can see me, et cetera. And so he was a little frustrated, but he finished his round of questions. But the point being, relative to karma, is that one of the things that stands out about my own chart, and I'm not going to give you my data, but I'm just going to tell you what the symbols are, that I have Mars conjunct Uranus in Libra in the first house, and they are square in the nodal axis. South node's in Cancer in the 10th, and it's Mars, Uranus, and Libra in the 1st. So this comes out in all kinds of different ways, but one of the, like you could say a thesis statement is, I need to learn the right balance of using, expressing will and individuality, right? Mars, Uranus is an unresolved issue for me on my soul's journey. But I used to manifest this as being accident prone. So after I rode away from the little news crew on the corner, they were, by the way, standing in the sun, so they had good light, baking because Tucson's like an oven right now. They're sitting there, you know, they're standing there with the perspiration pouring off of them, and so I rode away and realized that all of my answers were about basically being in control of my energy and not feeling that something bad was going to happen to me. I mean, just down the street, there's a dude who died there this morning. You know, regardless of whose fault it was, seriously, you know, when you're a bicyclist or and somebody gets hurt, you know, part of you might think, oh, well, you know, it might not be that safe to ride a bike, etc. I certainly used to think like that. And then I got deeply into karmic astrology and got into my own chart and saw that I really needed to learn to make new choices about this Mars Uranus. And so I had to look at what my choices, you know, already were. So this is the point about changing karma. I use this example when I teach quite often because it is kind of dramatic when I tell you what I did to get over it. But basically, I had the fear that I wasn't safe. And so, you know, we can get into the kind of chicken or egg idea of which came first. Did I have an experience that made me not feel safe? Or did I decide I was unsafe and then manifest experience to prove me right? It actually doesn't matter. You know, even if I didn't do the work I do and weren't kind of tuned into what my soul was up to and how this comes out in different lives, I would know just by looking at this chart that I'm trying, this person in his various lives, this soul in its various lives, is trying to figure out the right use of this. And I'll know for sure that as an unresolved issue, sometimes there's too much being done. You look at Mars Uranus in the first house. That's kind of a one way to talk about that is there could be a physical bravado. There could be like a fearlessness that goes with that. That could be one extreme, you know, taking risks. The other extreme is hesitant, sheepish, right? Trying not to take risks. And the conscious personality doesn't know that it's because in other lives you take risks and you know, feel like you're, you know, much worse off for it. But trying not to do anything that looks like being a daredevil. And that's kind of where I was in most of this life. But where you don't use an energy, especially an energy in the first house, because you're carrying it in your body, where you don't use an energy, it will still come to you because the energy still exists, you know. And if you don't own it, it will come to find you. And I was manifesting aggression and basically, I was making people mad and stirring up their own temper because I wasn't owning my own Mars Uranus. And this whole feeling accident prone. So that's going to come to you if you don't use it. So what I ended up doing when I realized that I didn't feel safe was I sold my car in LA and I purchased this old kind of rickety motorcycle. And I had no designs on of being a daredevil, you know, but everybody in LA says, "Oh, you can't ride a motorcycle. It's too dangerous. People die every day." And they'll tell you all the stories about all the people they know or their families or the people they work with or their, you know, my brother knew a guy or my sister dated a guy, that kind of thing. All these horror stories. And I realized that I didn't feel safe, and so I needed to decide that I was safe. And there's a little, you know, the power of positive thinking is part of that. But it's really that I was creating scenarios to prove me right that I wasn't safe. So I got this motorcycle. I took a, you know, I took a, the normal training course and got my license and bought this thing. And it got me into my body. First house. It got, you know, I had to make quick decisions. Mars Uranus in the first house by instinct. I couldn't think a lot. Like you're in traffic and, you know, when you're in a metal box with wheels, you have this illusion that you're insulated and you're protected. But when you're in the open air, and in California there is a helmet law. So I was always wearing a helmet. But when you're in the open air and you're conscious of, you know, how close to the air, for instance, your skin is, you know, and you're not in a metal box, you know, you're not insulated, you're not protected. I decided that I was safe, and that the only reason all of those things had happened, all those car accidents, bicycle accidents, whatever, I mean, a ridiculous list. The reason that all those things had happened was because I didn't feel safe, and I knew that they would stop, and they did. And so, riding the motorcycle, I was in my body. I was not accident prone anymore, except like, you know, on my worst day where I just wasn't grounded and was distracted or not paying attention or, you know, something. Like I hadn't been eating well or sleeping well, you know, something that is pretty normal that kind of takes us out of being grounded and centered, you know. I still have those kinds of days once in a while, but, you know, really not that often. And I understand that the universe is a safe place if I decide that it is, if that's my choice. So that's kind of a drastic turnaround in karma, you know, the belief that I'm not safe to really deciding that I am. But you can apply this to just about anything that seems out of whack and haywire in your own life. And that's why I do this podcast. I don't think I've shared. And this is episode 19. I don't think that to date I've included any personal stories, and I haven't given you my data. But this idea is the foundation all of this work and this podcast and everything I do in astrology, that whatever isn't working for you, you can change it. Whatever karma is there, you can unravel it if you understand what karma is, if you understand what role you and your beliefs, which are karma, are playing in it, and then you can change your mind about how things work. Oh, but we have to go back to finish up why that was a transit lab moment. With the sun conjunct the Cancer midheaven, you know, there's going to be some light temporarily shined on, you know, how I am Cancerian in the 10th house. So, you know, as I talked about it before in the context of, well, I used to be somebody who was afraid of that kind of stuff. But in this context, somebody stopping you on the street and saying, do you feel unsafe riding your bike around the city? That's a very Cancerian question. And the next question being, do you think they should do something about it? Another Cancerian question. Always concerned with safety and security and being taken care of. So I just wanted to wrap that up and talk about why that was so appropriate. You know, stopping bicyclists on the street and appealing to their emotional sides about, you know, what had happened to this other bicyclist early this morning. But I got the reflection that I'm not really in that space anymore, and that I was very kind of self-contained and not, you know, looking to blame somebody else for what was going on. So that was very interesting to me to get that reflection. Since I recorded what you've heard so far in this episode yesterday, I've been thinking a lot about karma. And, you know, you have a bunch of episodes here of karma this, karma that, you know, and for specific listeners when they send in questions. And then you also have that, you know, episodes 3 and 4, which cover the original Unraveling Karma talk that I gave a few years ago in California. But I'm just gonna say a couple things that I've been thinking about, you know, the last day or so. This is amazing to me that, I mean, I can work with a client here and a client there. You know, I can have a coaching student here and there, and do work on karmic astrology with students, and, you know, get feedback on people on the book I've written about karma and astrology. But it's amazing to me that every single person comes in with this set of beliefs. Every single person is born, essentially wound up from different experiences in different lives. And this phrase, this notion of unraveling karma, unraveling it, it's almost, you know, it, just as good a word as unwinding it, because we're so wound up. We come in with beliefs about how the world is. And the world isn't like that without our belief that it's like that. So I've just been thinking a lot about how we create our lives based on these beliefs, and then believe that the world is the way it is because our lives are unfolding that way. So it's self-fulfilling. It's circular. And as I told you, that the personal story about my Mars Uranus in the first square of the nodes, because that actually was a very personal story. I've been having a conversation with another evolutionary astrologer about how much info we share, in order to make it really useful, to have this kind of useful little module on that, how I changed that karma, how I changed, you know, the beliefs that I was carrying my whole life. After I did that, that's kind of, I think, what stirred me thinking about all this, because every single person has some set of beliefs, you know, some karmic complex of beliefs that, frankly, could be changed. The more present we are, the more aware of what's actually happening within us and around us, the more we can participate in life as active agents of whatever kind of change we want to be. But the more we are wrapped up in the past, you know, clinging to some idea of who we are based on an idea of who we have been, or the more that we're living in the future, you know, either from a hope or from a fear, the more we do that, the less present we are. And so I also wanted to talk just a moment about 2012 and put this in context. Because some of you are aware that I do a lot of work on 2012. Sometimes, you know, I'm sure it's come up in different podcasts over the last couple of years that I've channeled a good deal of information about that, and that I work with people to help them get over their beliefs and get over their karma so they can live more in the present tense. And you can find that in the NIDDLE report, the Living in the Present Tense NIDDLE report that I offer. And so today is July 7th. Throughout the end of August, so for the next about 7-ish weeks, if you order that report, I'll give you $5 off. So instead of 27, it'll be 22. Write me or give me a call and we'll work out giving you that discount. But I really want this report to get into people's hands. I really want you to see how your own Pluto and your own Chiron and your Lilith and your Lucifer have contributed to keeping you in some state other than presence. The whole report is just about seeing how emotional wounding can arise surrounding these archetypes. Emotional wounding can arise surrounding literally any archetype. But with these four, it was really important to focus on the emotional healing regarding 2012. And we're hearing more and more about what's going to happen and what isn't going to happen. And I'll just tell you that there's a lot of information in the report on what I've channeled about this, but I'm not channeling stuff about what will happen on a grander scale. You know, earth events. Will there be floods? Will there be earthquakes? Will there be, some slew of volcanic eruptions? Nobody knows that. Literally, nobody knows that. But the opportunity at the personal level is really, really clear, and it's to live in the present tense. It's to get as present as possible to what is actually happening. The shifts in consciousness that go with this calendar, meaning the Mayan long count calendar was designed to track the evolution of consciousness in this time and place, so on the earth in this dimension. And what that means is that we have the capacity to now, more than ever, catch up to understanding in what ways we are energetic beings, creative beings, divine beings. And the more that we are thinking about, you know, how our parents treated us, or how they still treat us, or, you know, what we didn't say to person X, or what we did say to person Y, and it was a problem. You know, the more that we are living in the past, or living in some fantasy version of the future, like I said, either fear or hope, each one takes us out of presence. I think in New Age circles, hope is really emphasized, and yet each takes us out of being present, and so each has the potential to support us in handicapping ourselves in our evolution of consciousness. So each and every, I keep coming back to this, each and every person is born with a set of beliefs about what the world is like, and each and every person thereby creates the world, the surrounding world, the world around him or her. Every single one of us does that. I gave you that example of Mars Uranus, but that's mine. You know, that's my square to the nodes, or one of them. There are others I don't always discuss. But that's my unresolved issue. Not everybody has a square to the nodes, but everybody has a south node. Everybody has a south node ruler. Everybody has a Pluto. You know, configurations for each of these three symbols. And I think what I'm learning after doing this work for the last, I guess, about 6 years, is that it's not enough to look at a chart and say, oh, for me to look at my chart and say, I have Mars conjunct Uranus and Libra in the first house square of the nodes. There, it's an idea. There, it's the set of symbols. But to really, really get into what that symbol means requires understanding exactly what it is that I believe about those energies. It could be any configuration, but there is a belief when it's tied in with a karmic story, when it's tied in with the nodes, the nodal ruler by sign, and/or Pluto. There is always belief attached to that. So I guess I'm tripping on this a little bit. The image, just this image of the sentence, every single person is born with this packet of beliefs he or she uses to create the world. And I know a lot of people who don't like what they're creating, and that's one of the reasons I do the work that I do. To really help them understand what it is. There are people who come into me who say, I've been studying my chart for a long time. They could say 10 years. I've worked with somebody who knows her chart for 40 years, who's an astrologer who's been studying her chart for 40 years. And when I introduce this angle on emotional healing, when I talk about Chiron, when I talk about the soul's journey, it is always a new perspective. Even for people who are familiar with evolutionary astrology, because we've gone from an evolutionary astrology talking about these ideas to now with this input that I've been bringing through with ascended masters and from the spirits of deceased people about what the soul is really experiencing, why we're really here, and what the soul is really doing, and how it tracks these data, how it tracks our experiences and interprets them, and then separately how we on the personality level track and experience them, That takes us into a really, really deep understanding, I should say, the potential for a very deep understanding of how we can change our karma. I don't think I've ever heard an astrologer talk about that before I started talking about it. And when I did, I mean, really changing the beliefs. Changing the beliefs at the core. It's not just that you got imprinted with something, but that you are creative. You're a divine creative being who can actually change the script that's running. You can change the software. You can edit the software, the programming language that's happening in your life. And when I started talking about it, people I encountered, I should say, really weren't sure exactly what I was really saying. And now this has had a chance to unfold, over 6+ years. And now I've published my first book on this topic, which is called The Soul's Journey 1, Astrology, Reincarnation, and Karma with a Medium and Channel. And now that I've published that, people are starting to be able to really, map out what I'm saying and really understand how it is you can change karma when you really understand what karma is. Not from, various traditions, but when you understand what karma really is, from what, ascended masters observe about the human experience and how to change it. There is nothing that cannot be changed or altered. We all have invitations. We all have important meetings, so to speak, with soul mates of various types, and we all have what look like appointments with destiny, right, is a phrase that we've had circulating for quite a while. But what we believe about why we experience them and how we respond is everything. So we really need to understand what it is that we already believe about the configurations in our chart. This is, astrology is about energy. It's a language, a symbolic language of energy. When we really understand this, and that book is a first statement of this, we will be able to allow astrology to unfold into the incredibly potent healing tool that it is. It offers the potential to absolutely change how our lives go if we're willing to understand what karma really is, if we're willing to take responsibility for the circumstances of our lives, understanding that everything that we are creating is being created to teach our soul what it came here to do. And if we can understand how to really look at what soul is and how it informs us and how our lives are feeding information back to soul, when we really get all of that, we won't be, I guess the phrase that comes to me is hogtied by our vocabulary or by our conceptions of astrology that have been handed down. I mean, evolved, added to, expounded, like that, you know, but handed down from ancient ways of thinking. Sometimes I hear people speak astrology to me and I think, oh my God, this person's from medieval times, you know, and it's not conscious. It's not the person studying medieval astrology. It's just the mindset. Well, here we are. It's the 21st century. We're on the edge of the beginning of the transition to the Aquarian Age. We're almost at 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar. Huge potential for leaps in consciousness, understanding our true natures, understanding who we really are. So medieval stuff, ancient Greek stuff, it has a place, but it's not who we are now. Our level of consciousness in many of us who are those of us who are choosing to flow with the universe, to change with the earth, which is undergoing the shift in consciousness. That old way of thinking, those old ways of thinking no longer serve us. We just can't get by anymore on looking at a Jupiter transit as good and a Saturn transit as bad. This is limited. We have been evolving beyond it. So I always encourage people to get a bird's eye view on how to look at astrology. I do tutoring. If this interests you, I do one-on-one tutoring. I also teach group classes. And if you're looking at your own chart or you're looking at your life and you want to understand not just, oh, I have, you know, Sun conjunct South Node or Mercury conjunct Pluto, but you really want to understand what the beliefs are that you are carrying about those symbols in your chart, call me for a session. I also do ongoing coaching with people, which is going fabulously. People love it, answering lifelong questions. We spend 45 minutes a week together, either on Skype or the phone. It's usually minimum of 8 weeks, but people are finding it really great and they're doing it for longer. So give me a call if you're interested in that too. And that's a much more affordable rate than a reading. A reading gives you an hour or an hour and a half of this is the big picture. This is what you're here to do. This is what's up. You can bring particular topics you want guidance on from your spirit guides, from my higher self, from how I see it, and looking at your soul's journey. And the coaching is really about getting deeply into specific issues. It can be as long a list as you feel you want to work on, but during the coaching, which is a little different than the sessions, when I do an hour, hour and a half session with you, I'm telling you what I see and I'm giving you some guidance and feedback. And it's a lot gets accomplished in 60 or 90 minutes. People are always surprised. They're full at the end of the session. But the coaching, I teach you how to see your life as I see it. It can include work on your astrology chart. It can not include that. It doesn't matter to me. Whatever works for you. If you're a student of astrology and you want to get into really the spiritual astrology and understanding the shifts that we're going through in consciousness and really getting into the soul's journey, we can include your chart if you're familiar with it. But the coaching is not a context for tutoring, so that's why I offer them at different structures at different rates. So if you're interested in any of those things, you know, write me at tom@tdjacobs.com or give me a call. My phone number is 213-925-6019. And I feel my little expository soap boxing is coming to a close. So I'll thank you for listening and telling you if you would like for me to look at your chart for a few minutes in an upcoming episode of Unraveling Karma, email me at karma@tdjacobs.com. And again, the living in the present tense NATO report until the end of August will be $5 off to anyone who mentions the podcast and mentions Unraveling Karma and that you heard about the little deal. And you can write me at tom@tdjacobs.com to order that. So thanks again for listening. My name is Tom Jacobs. I'm an astrologer, medium, and channel in Tucson, Arizona. And you can find me on the web at tdjacobs.com. Bye-bye.